Welcome to another episode of the Accounting for California podcast. My name is David Hemphill, the information officer here at the California Board of Accountancy, and I'm happy to be joined once again by the executive officer of the CBA, Mr. Dominic Franzella.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. And the president and CEO of the California Society of CPAs, Ms. Denise Frebbing.
Glad to be here. Good morning.
And it's great having the two of you come together again and with both of your organizations, and we can talk about really a busy and successful 2025 and then kind of look ahead towards next year and what is coming down. So I guess let's start right with the major accomplishment, the success, the passage of Assembly Bill 1175, which we spoke about at length in our previous podcast. Mm-hmm. So it was signed by the governor on the 3rd of October. So start with you, Dominic. What were your final thoughts on that whole process and its path through the legislature and everything?
Honestly, a couple of things come to mind. First, well, it was signed this year. It was really the work for the better part of 2+ years, dating all the way back to the Sure CPA project and a lot of the successes that kind of went in and came out of that project, from the importance of going out and talking to students, working with the society, talking to the colleges, the firms, trying to get as much data and information as possible to inform decision making. Because at the end of the day, when it passed through the legislature, it didn't have any no votes, which means, at least from my end, it was a successful endeavor by spending the time and working with those groups to address, or at least have them have a voice of what's going into the final product. I think the collaboration with CalCPA was instrumental. It had the regulator and the profession showing that it had positives for both the consumer and the profession, and why it was an important change, and the changes were necessary. And then last, I would just like to extend my appreciation to Assemblymember Irwin and her team for all their efforts in seeing how important this modernization to the mobility requirements were, as well as creating flexible licensure requirements and what that will mean going forward for individuals seeking to enter the profession or practicing in the state. So her team put in a lot of effort and really were champions for helping push this piece of legislation through.
Yeah, from your side.
I would say the same. I mean, I would say grateful, right, for the collaboration, for Assemblywoman Jackie Irwin as well. And Dominic, for you and Jason Fox, for going out and talking to all the legislators, did a really great job of communicating what we needed, the why behind it. And then just for all the conversations that happened with the other state societies, AICPA, NASBA, I mean, there was a lot of intentionality, which I think was really important, collaboration. And when you said 2 years, yes, it was a journey. It was a journey. And I'm excited because I hear from students, some of them already are in a good position to move forward, and they see an opportunity to find a different path. And I think that's what's really important, that we have different doors that people can walk through. So just grateful.
Right. Yeah, flexibility. Yes. So let's kind of set the baseline and remind people of the timeline when the bill will go into effect. There's that implementation window for parts of the bill, the licensure requirements. So do you want to speak to that just a little bit? Make sure everyone's on the same page of when this is going to get started.
Absolutely. So the bill kind of has a couple of milestones within it, as you were alluding to. First, the modernized mobility. So that idea of CPA equals CPA, that'll take effect January 1, 2026. And in all honesty, I don't think anybody's going to see there's no real difference that's coming. It's kind of the foundational elements more so than anything practical that people have to adjust to or make any kind of decisions around. But that'll take effect January 1, 26. The flexible licensure requirements will kick into effect January 1, 27. So that implementation window that you were speaking of. And then I think the other part of it is actually the legacy pathway. More or less the 150 requirements that you see today, there's a sunset date on those. The final application need to be submitted by December 31, 28. So there's a couple of milestones after this year, but kind of working through those as we speak.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're already doing some things with your members to make sure, you know, on the students, the candidates coming up, to make sure they're aware of everything. I know we're partnering up with you for something in January.
Yeah, no, and there's a lot of conversations happening on the academic side with faculty, student side with candidate webinars, and us partnering to make sure that we get the news out there, because please go to our websites too, because we have a lot of shared information out there. But it's really just to have conversations to make sure everybody's on board.
And aware of what's going on to make their own individual decisions. So here we are. The bill will, depending on when you're watching this, may have already taken effect, but January 1st of 2026. So now comes the 12 months, like we said, the implementation window. So maybe get into, you know, without going too into the weeds, but maybe kind of get into some of what's happening over the next 12 months to prepare for the new pathway to kick in on January 1st of 2027.
Absolutely. I think the first thing to kind of lay out there is kind of like the making the sausage mentality, the regulatory process, the part that goes into that. We spent much of last year, while the bill was kind of going through the legislative process, we were focused on how to actually implement it as well, to start that dialogue early and get it out there often. So we spent much of 25 on the regulations to implement the bill, because we were always optimistic it would be signed and we'd have that piece of legislation. So that's been a year that we've spent dealing with that. Had a lot of conversations, obviously, with CalCPA, the large firms, faculty, students, just trying to develop the regulations around it. We anticipate those to hopefully be in place by fall of this year. So keeping our fingers crossed for that. A couple of other things related to implementation, as Denise was talking about, getting the word out, getting the message out. Obviously, we've been collaborating with CalCPA on a number of activities. We've also engaged in the campus tour, that rock-based or rock-themed tour over the past...
It's pretty cool. Check out.
Over these past couple of months and during the fall leg of the tour, as the bill was getting signed or was getting out of the legislature, it started kicking that off. And that first leg had 12 events, with 7 of them being virtual, 5 in person. I had an opportunity to do the one at the University of Southern California. Events are... awesome, not just for getting with the students, but also the faculty, and answering their questions and deep diving into their programs to help them understand how the new licensure requirements will align or what maybe adjustments they might want to be thinking about. We're also getting ready to kick off the spring leg of the campus tour, which will start off in around February. I think we already have 5 confirmed schools. One of which is actually CSU East Bay, which is where the board will have its March meeting. So we're partnering up with that institution to have a campus tour. I think also one of the pieces that we've worked really closely with CalCPA on, and Jason Fox was instrumental in helping us get to the firms, like starting to understand that the firms who are doing the recruitment, what questions are they receiving? How are students who are coming through their internships or coming through their hiring process, what questions are they asking, such as, should I wait for the new licensure requirements? Should I apply under the legacy? Is there a benefit? What are they doing? And so speaking with them and hearing that and offering them not really solutions to those, but suggestions on how people can evaluate. And so that, as you had mentioned, they can open whichever doors they want or take whichever path makes the most sense for them. Even talked about early entry to the exam and how that can interplay with some decisions people are making today. So getting them educated on that. So I'm encouraged and I'm excited to continue that dialogue, because I would say historically, at least for the CBA's end, it wasn't an area that we focused a lot on, was the firms and getting the recruitment side of the firms and how people come in. And that is an instrumental part, because those people are hearing the same things as maybe the professors, but from a different lens and understanding what's going on there. And the other piece for the development, and this kind of interplays with the regulations a bit, is getting geared up for the process, the workflow, how schools who want to get a CBA recognized degree get through that process, or the community colleges as they're developing their CBA recognized certificates, how that's going to work, so that we can maybe hit the ground running with at least a handful of probably 4-year institutions who have their degree recognized and how that's going to kind of work. So there's a lot of moving parts, mm-hmm. a lot of things going on, but having spent the past year developing the regs allows us to now focus on how to implement those regs and having some active discussions with stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the response has been very positive and excited from the universities and community colleges that we've been visiting to go along and get these things established for their colleges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would say you can't have enough connection points, right? So the recruiters is one that is so important to your point, and getting with the faculty at those universities and community college campuses. And, you know, as much as we can just connect and have the conversations. We do work with one of the professors has put together, Mark Willis, shout out to him, has put together a presentation that we have a beginning kind of primer before. So wherever, if you're listening to this and you want information or help, reach out to us because we want to get it out. What, 7 times 7 ways you can communicate? Yeah. You just mm-hmm. got to keep talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Check both of our websites, as you mentioned.
Yes.
You can always send an email to the outreach inbox, so outreach@cba.ca.gov, and we'll make sure your questions get answered as we're all doing this together. You're our partners. Mm-hmm. So let's look ahead now a little to 2026, mm-hmm. and kind of a fun moment for the CBA and the accounting profession in general. So we go back into the sands of time. So the CBA was actually... by statute, created back in 1901. So do the math, fast forward, and 2026 will be the 125th birthday of the CBA. We could also kind of say the birthday of the official recognition of the accounting profession mm-hmm. and the CPA license. So it's kind of a special milestone,
yeah.
and I think we should celebrate it.
Absolutely.
Is that the plan?
That is the plan. Yes, we're already working with CalCPA on a couple of ideas mm-hmm. and trying to spread that information and obviously leverage it as a means for promoting the CPA, both mm-hmm. for the profession and for consumers and understanding what our organizations and what the CPA has to offer. From our end a little bit, we'll be dealing with some exciting maybe history projects within the our update publication and taking a look back in time in little increments and windows to kind of shed the light on the arc of the board over the 125 years. We'll also be doing some fun stuff on social media. So we're kind of in the middle planning stages at this point, so I don't want to share everything,
yeah.
But we have some ideas and we're excited to work with CalCPA and the profession as a whole to kind of promote the CPA designation, both as the consumer protection element from the board and for the value of the CPA license for the profession.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations, first of all. And then I would say to all the listeners, you know, be on the lookout because if it's anything like your Halloween videos and right, that's pretty cool. There'll be something for you to just, you know, to engage with.
Yeah. Try to commemorate the moment because it is a big milestone.
It is.
That'll be something to look forward to in 2026. All right, let's shift to a topic now that is definitely gaining momentum, I suppose. Dominic, why don't you talk about the private equity and the alternative practice structures that with those discussions that are taking place at the national level. And I know the CBA kind of did a focus on that at the last meeting as well. So where do you see that headed in 2026?
So I guess to your point or your question about where do I see it headed, honestly, I have no idea. I really don't. I think while it's been on everybody's radar for a while now, it probably took a bit of a backseat during a lot of the discussions related to pathways. Mm-hmm. So things were occurring within this space for a while, but a lot of regulators' attentions were focused on licensure requirements, mobility, those impacts. So I think we're now really getting into the meat of it. And so I'll speak to it from a regulator's standpoint. NASBA, so the National Association of State Boards of Accountancy, has a private equity task force. I happen to serve on that task force. And we released a white paper in October in conjunction with the national meeting. And really, I think when I was working with the task force on it, my hat was, I want to get out to the regulators so I can get information back from fellow EDs, anybody in the regulatory space, but stakeholders in general, what are they thinking about related to it? Here's some of the topics and questions we're thinking about, but are we missing anything? Are there questions that you have? So getting out and having this discussion on the white paper, which covers topics such as independence, use of title, public disclosure, and mobility and enforcement. So really core topics, both to the profession and to the regulators. The board will be taking this up, that white paper, in January at its January board meeting and considering some responses back to it. Again, from my perspective, I think the two biggest pieces that the board will be looking at and that I have my eyes on really relate to consumer understanding and mm-hmm. public disclosure as it relates to these alternate practice structures and the PE involvement, and then the use of title. At the end of the day, we don't want to have individuals get a CPA license to not display it or use it so the consuming public doesn't know if they're working with a licensee. Are they regulated? Is there a place where they can get information on if the person's current or active, or is there an enforcement issue, or how can they file a complaint if necessary? So the use of title and when it's being used and how it's being used is a big discussion. And I think it's not just for regulators, obviously has a tremendous impact mm-hmm. on the CPA profession from a different lens, mm-hmm. But along the same lines of making sure that individuals can use the title.
Right. Absolutely. And I would say too, I mean, I think it's moving from in 2026 for sure will be more not, is this real? Yeah. Are these real business models? Are they going to continue to, you know, how do we lead responsibly? Yeah. And having kind of that lens and asking the right questions, looking to re-exam as the world is changing. And this world is changing so quickly. How do we make sure that we're aligned? And we have put together an alternative practice advisory group, mm-hmm. much like the CPAG, the one we did on pipeline, to really went for the comments that are needed to make sure that we hear from our community. Our community is so important. So it's a very diverse group of firm leaders and making sure that we can represent their voice and what they're seeing.
Okay, very good. Well, let's talk about another topic that is very prevalent in the minds of any, from students to the firms, everyone, of course, AI, artificial intelligence. So the CBA had a big presentation at its November meeting about that and some statistics and data that was pretty interesting. So how is the CBA approaching AI, and do you foresee any regulatory issues that may eventually need to be addressed?
So first, like probably everybody else who was there for, I want to say it was a close to an hour, hour and a half presentation and a lot of engagement. I thought it was a very interactive discussion between the presenters and the board, just having a dialogue, which I thought mm-hmm. was important to kind of answer questions, or at least, I guess, pry out questions along the way. So I did find it incredibly enlightening, and I want to extend my sincere appreciation to CalCPA, Jason Fox, the Accountants Coalition, and Ernst & Young for taking the time and pulling that together and coming out and meeting with the board in person at mm-hmm. our office during the board meeting and putting together such a comprehensive presentation from their lens on how they're doing it. And I think that's the important piece of all this is it was Ernst & Young's use of AI and how they're integrating into their firm. And it may be representative of other big firms. It may not. It may not represent how a smaller firm or a medium-sized firm would engage. So AI and its usage is at the forefront of a lot of discussions, as our members said at the end of the meeting. I think it was clear they want to keep a pulse on this topic. Mm-hmm. As it relates to what I anticipate over, maybe the next 12 months, I anticipate we'll be monitoring what I'm expecting to be more legislation again this year around AI, even in light of the federal administration's direction on regulating AI. So there's those competing factors kind of going on, right. But we'll monitor those pieces of legislation like we did with CalCPA and the profession last year, provide our input where it seems necessary and appropriate. And we'll focus primarily on how those potential services are being issued to consumers and where AI is involved in that. But I anticipate most of this year to be more, again, watching. It's important we understand what's going on because it evolves so quickly and it changes so quickly. Mm-hmm. So not trying to get out in front of it necessarily, but not losing sight of what's going on. So I think it'll be a lot of monitoring the legislation and news stories, because mm-hmm. there's news stories almost every day about AI and its impact. So
there is. I mean, you thought licensing was exciting. Well, there's so many issues that we're dealing with now. So it's just an opportunity to really make sure that we stay on top.
yeah. right,
of what's happening out there.
Absolutely.
So I'm curious about what you're hearing from your membership. Are there specific concerns they might have with AI, or what are they? Excitement, maybe a little bit of everything?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of everything. So there's curiosity definitely out there. There's urgency because they know other firms are implementing AI. So, you know, everybody wants to make sure they are competitive. And then there is concern, right? So, you know, we're hearing from them, how do I implement AI? What are the practical, I think, use cases mm-hmm. is something that's extremely important, because we all know we can search and research and there's things we can do, but what can we really do from a productivity standpoint? And I think more importantly, what can we do from a kind of top line growth perspective? And so that's one that they're looking at. And then there's also the data piece. We hear a lot about from the talent and pipeline. Mm-hmm. Is this going to mean I'm not going to have a job? Is this going to mean they're not going to be jobs? You know, quite frankly, you know, entry level, maybe not jobs exactly like that, but that's been outsourced anyway. So maybe that's more of an outsource play. But as you, I just would say to anyone out there, it's going to augment what you're going to do. So lean in and embrace it and see where you can elevate your skills, right? And upskill. Yeah. So that's what we're hearing. And we're hearing a lot, and we're leaning into that and seeing how we can educate and provide resources.
Learn those prompts.
Learn how to prompt it well. Learns how to ask questions.
Exactly. Like with any employee.
Right.
So a lot to look forward to for next year.
There is.
That's exciting. So we got it kind of all ready to go, put a little bow on 2025. So thank you, both of you, for joining us and sharing a lot of you know, what your organizations are working on and what we do have to look ahead into 2026. So thanks again for being a part of the podcast. For all of you watching, we wish you season's greetings and a happy new year as we're getting close to that. And like we said, so much ahead in 2026, and we will have more for you right here on the Accounting for California podcast. Until next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.